Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
It's the only way I made it through prison. It's the only way I can live life. It's having faith and believing in the higher power, believing in God.
Get a little impatient with those who say if the Lutherans vote to adopt the recommendations before them, they're choosing to suddenly become another declining U.S. mainline denomination. Wake up call from the presiding bishop, we already are.
Congregations who wish to call a minister who is in a committed, lifelong, same-gender relationship to be their pastor, they would be able to do that.
Denominations who go down this path are departing from the Christian faith.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I can only imagine what our listeners have been emailing us. I've been reading some of it before coming on the air this afternoon. We always respond to listener email on Friday afternoons. And most of what I was looking at was pretty much along the same kind of a subject. Of course, the big news is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and their move this afternoon and previous in this week, closer and closer to lifting the ban on the ordination of gay and lesbian clergy. We'll respond to some email and some other subjects via email here during the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, the 21st of August, trying to deal with that unfolding story the best we can. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org with questions or comments, or you can Twitter questions or comments to us at IssuesETC, at IssuesETC. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second half hour of the program, we'll start out with Issues Etc. blog of the week, as we usually do, and then soundbite of the week. We got four pieces of audio from this week's Issues Etc. audio to play for you, and we'd like your vote. We'd like to hear from you which of these should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can call your vote to 1-877-623-6943. Email it to talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter your vote to @IssuesETC, @IssuesETC. Let's see, after the first hour of the program, how's the second hour going to look? We're going to be talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the ordination of openly gay clergy. Hopefully have someone to comment it from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America side, and then Pastor Matt Harris, an executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care based in St. Louis, will be with us for his reaction to that as well. Mark Galley will join us in the last half hour of the program from Christianity Today magazine. We'll talk about a better response to scandals, the perennial scandals in the church. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can find us at Twitter, @IssuesETC. What's first?
Better open up that account. I'm glad you said something about Twitter.
We've already got a couple here, so you need to catch up.
For today's show?
I believe so. I don't have time to... Twitter's hard for me to read. I can read the stuff you type to me on the screen, but Twitter's in a much smaller font on my screen. And it's harder for me to read while I'm actually talking and doing something else. So there's something there. I don't know what it is. It may be insignificant.
Do you remember the old days we have to use cards to I'd have to send you messages via cards? You remember
that? Yes, I do. When we first started out, and then when we were switching over screener programs, we actually had to use cue cards for this. And heck, we don't even use a screener program anymore. We don't need it. We realized we don't need it. We just need to be able to communicate rather than getting some sort of bulky kind of unitasker program. We just instant message one another from back and forth. I mean, I know that it's going through the entire internet before it gets to you over there, but I mean, it's good enough for me.
The reason I bring that up is reading Twitter was probably about as hard as it was reading my handwriting on index cards.
No, I never read your handwriting. I always just guessed. It was always just look at it and kind of think, that looks like something. Maybe it is. Jeff's handwriting. Well, Craig could comment better on Jeff's handwriting than I could because Craig is forced to read it. every day. And I can tell you that Jeff can put a series of numbers together that to him looks like 0014A, which would be a spot number or something. But to me, looks like the word coconut. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'll look at it, I'll say, is that a Q? Is it an O, a C? Anything in the round area seems to do. So I don't know how Craig does it. Neither does he. He's just in there shaking his head.
Monica in Illinois. My son has been dating the same young lady for nearly 6 years. They're both 23 years old and talk openly about getting married. Will you please explain what biblical marriage is and what role the wedding should have in the marriage? My husband tells our son that the wedding is not the marriage. Thanks, Monica in Illinois.
Well, you know, that's great because there are all sorts of shows on television nowadays that are about people getting married, but they're not really about people getting married. They're about people planning and executing a wedding. And there is a huge difference there. The wedding is merely, and I say merely because, not because it's insignificant, because it is quite significant, but the wedding compared to the marriage is merely the ceremony. And I don't use that word in a derogatory way. I use it in a very positive way. It is merely the rite or the ceremony by which the promises of God in the Christian context are brought to bear upon the promises that are made by the bride and the groom. And that is important, but the most important thing about the wedding is the word of God from a Christian perspective, the promises of God. And so all the other things that we think go into making a wedding, the cake, the dress, the reception, the guests, the tuxedos, the flowers, the limousines, the honeymoon, the throwing of the rice, the flower girls, the bridesmaids, the groomsmen, and we could go on. None of those things.
Please stop. Please. I was very impressed. You've been watching a lot of wedding shows or just years in the parish? Or
just running the tape on my own on my own planning of our wedding 22 years ago. And none of those things make any difference whatsoever. It is what everybody worries about. It is what everybody goes for. It is what everybody sees and oohs and ahs over. But all of them are completely and utterly insignificant compared to the real thing in the wedding, which is the word of God. A young man and a young woman want to come before God, not to declare their love, but to hear God's promises as they declare their love and their commitment to one another. Now, are God's promises necessary? Explicitly stated for a man and a woman to be married? No. But whether believers or unbelievers know it or not, the wedding ceremony really is tied to the promises of God. Now, the marriage is an entirely different affair. Marriage is the hard part. The wedding is easy. All you got to do is have enough money. But money can't buy you a good marriage. And one thing I've discovered about marriage is that no one's ever ready for it. Once you're in it, people say, I don't think we're ready to get married. No one ever is. No one ever is. So don't wait until you're ready. And if there's, did I scare you guys in there by pausing too long? Because I saw you both look up like a couple of startled basset hounds. No one is ever ready. So what do you want? Do you want life together? Do you want a lifelong commitment to one another wherein you can trust and learn to love deeper and deeper every day this person who you love today? If that's what you want, what is stopping you? Go find yourself a preacher and get married. I think we just worry too much about the prerequisites for marriage. We shouldn't marry in haste. But there are an awful lot of people marrying at leisure or waiting until everything can get paid off. If you're waiting until you can pay off the wedding to get married, then I suggest you cut the cost of the wedding and get married. Preachers are very cheap when it comes to this. And if you want a big party, get married and have a party spend it on the honeymoon, have a party someplace else. I sound like a father of a daughter who's approaching marriageable age, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. In the eyes of God, when are they officially married? Is it the wedding ceremony? I think that's what I could be wrong, but I think that's what the email was really getting at.
Oh, you mean I've been missing the point for the last
5 minutes? Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for telling me so soon. In the eyes of God, when is a couple married? There's not an easy answer to that, because there's actually two answers. As God counts the union of man and woman, the one flesh union, it is, without a doubt, Scripture is quite clear on this, it is in the marriage act, whether they're married or not. Then God counts you as one flesh. But God does not discount the kingdom by which he rules through law and reason. And so he doesn't allow you to play games like, well, I've got this wife, but then I went off and joined myself to a prostitute. Now I'm married to the prostitute. See you later, wifey. He didn't let you play games like that. There are also laws. There's also the fourth commandment to obey governing authorities. And so it depends on what you mean by the word married. Does God consider you and whoever you've committed the married act with to be one flesh permanently? Yes, he does. But does God disregard the marriage laws? That is, if you go and then subsequently later you repent, you go and you marry a woman, does he consider that to be a marriage he promises to bless? I think most certainly he does.
James in Naperville writes, has Pastor Wilkin ever found himself thinking chicken or fish during an interview?
I'm not sure what the question means, but I will answer it. I always think fish. I eat fish every day. I love fish. I think chicken is great. Try and stay away from red meat. But if I got a choice between chicken or fish, it is fish each and every time. In fact, I say that having just finished a tuna sandwich, one of the a tremendous Jimmy John's tuna sandwich about an hour and a half ago. It was delicious. It came on the recommendation of Craig Feitinger, our director of business operations. I make Craig sound very important, but the tuna was awesome. It was unbelievable. When we come back, more of your listener email, then we'll pick the Issues Etc. blog of the week, and you'll pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's Friday, August the 21st. More email after this. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If we're looking for a biblical basis for anything else we're about to do here. What about Jesus saying, judge not that you be not judged?
They always use the argument, I'm in a committed lifelong relationship, to justify same-sex relationship. Seems like there's a flawed reasoning there.
Journalists tend to worship politics. The Episcopal Church stands on political issues are almost always identical to those favored by journalists. The leadership of the Episcopal Church, for the most part, looks like Catholics and acts like journalists. What could be better than that?
Islam does not desire to unite with Christianity. It is naive for Christians to say, well, they're both monotheistic. Well, so is Molech. So is Baal, for that matter. You don't see Elijah saying, well, the prophets of Baal, why don't we just get together and have a dinner?
It'll be time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 20 minutes here on the program. You can call in your vote, 1-877-623-6943. Email your vote to talkback@issuesetc.org, or just Twitter us your vote at IssuesETC, at IssuesETC. More listener email.
Every time you say Twitter us at IssuesETC, Craig just bolts out laughing. Craig really has a problem with Twitter. He says he wants us to all turn in our man cards.
Well, you know, it is what it is. You got to utilize every... Would you feel better, Craig, if it was something like growl or grunt or something besides a little tweety bird? Would you feel better if it were a dog, if we were barking one another rather than tweeting one another?
I think part of it is the name, Twitter or tweet or whatever they call it. But, you know, the other part, Jeff and I were talking about it yesterday, or maybe you were involved. It's just so very narcissistic as far as some of the things that people send out over the internet in their tweets, you know, what I'm doing, what's going to happen later on, what's going on the weekend.
For a guy who doesn't seem to like Twitter very much, you seem to know an awful lot of what people are tweeting on the internet.
I think we know what he does when he goes home at night.
Yeah.
You know what? We got to find, he's probably got an alias. We need to find out his Twitter pseudonym.
I see him staring at that little BlackBerry thing an awful lot. And I always assumed he was just conducting business for us. I mean, doing what we pay him to do, but maybe there's some clandestine tweeting going on over there. You think that's funny, don't you? Yeah, well, we'll find out.
You know what? I think I saw him tweeting the other day, our competition, our former employer, during our show.
Really?
Yeah. He was tweeting him, but they didn't have an account. So
you don't have an account.
He tried to, though.
Try as he may. All right, what's next?
The email had to do something about giggling and he hadn't heard anybody laugh in the last 5 minutes, and he wanted to know why.
Oh, I see. He thought something might be wrong over there in the studio.
Right. Raymond in Santa Fe Springs, California. I am a new on-demand listener, and it is time very well spent as I commute from Los Angeles to Orange County. Today, a buddy and I were discussing an upcoming camping trip he was going on, and I told him I wouldn't be able to make it because I would be serving as an usher at church on Sunday. Jokingly, he replied, "Blasted you for putting God before pleasure. Thanks for the guilt trip." We talked a bit more. I assured him I wasn't working up a guilt trip, and I was pretty sure God allows camping on a weekend. His comment, though, did get me thinking. Is it accurate to say that we can really only properly try and follow the first commandment if we are doing it out of gratitude? That is, because we are thankful for what God has done for us, specifically sending his son who lived a perfect life, died, and was resurrected on our behalf. Similarly, would it be accurate to say that putting God first is just a meaningless work if we aren't thankful first for the gift we receive in Christ? Writes Raymond in Santa Fe Springs, California. Thanks for the email.
Well, the thing that keeps our obedience to any of the commandments from being empty works, contrivances of our own will, is not our sincerity, because our sincerity, our thankfulness, our gratitude, whatever it may be, simply is not equal to the task. So God does not check your attitude. What he looks for in those who serve him is faith, not an attitude, not gratitude, not thanksgiving, not none of those things, not sincerity. He's not the great pumpkin. He's God. He looks for faith in Jesus Christ, and that is all that pleases him. It's the only thing that pleases him. Now, what we should say, faith is not attitude, gratitude, sincerity either. Faith is throwing oneself entirely upon Christ himself. So to have faith in Christ is to not have anything in yourself whatsoever. And when God sees faith, what he sees is one who depends entirely on Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ that pleases him. So whatever works are done in obedience to God's commandment, God finds them pleasing solely for Christ's sake, not because of our sincerity's sake. Now, I should say, while I've said that, I should also add, conversely, someone who goes to church because they think they have to, they might as well stay home. They go to church because to make mom or wife or husband, pastor, grandpa, whoever it may be, happy. You're better off staying home. At least in a human sense, you're better off staying home. You're always better off in contact with the Word of God. But if you're really saying, I'm going here because this is what I want to offer to God, don't bother. What we do on Sunday morning is not something we do in order to serve God. We go there so that, see, it's getting the order of faith right again. Works would say we go to church in order to please God, serve God, do something for God, offer something to God. Faith says we go to receive. We go because we are desperate for what God is giving out freely there. And outwardly, it looks like the same thing. But I want to make it quite clear, it is not sincerity, gratitude, attitude, thanks, any of those things that God looks at. He looks at Jesus Christ. For the one who depends on Jesus Christ, God sees your works as done by Christ himself. And he is perfectly pleased with them.
Here's an email. I'm a pastor in an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a congregation in Texas, and I absolutely love your program. It is a breath of fresh air. I don't know if it's on the radio down here, but I download the podcast and listen to nearly every one in its entirety. Well, we love our on-demand listeners.
We absolutely do.
I wanted to offer a quick perspective for your listeners from my point of view. I am a confessional Lutheran, bound by Scripture, the creeds, and the Lutheran confessions. The votes and discussions taking place in Minneapolis at the churchwide assembly are absolutely disheartening for me and many of my colleagues. Having graduated from seminary 2 years ago, I could see the writing on the wall, and I have by and large lost faith in the ELCA establishment, professorate, and even clergy. I heard and fought against every kind of liberation theology known to man, and it was a struggle every step of the way. I affirm my evangelical Catholic identity and the absolute authority of Scripture. Yet where else can I go, even as I affirm that Scripture is infallible and authoritative? I do read some of Scripture as parabolic, particularly Jonah, for example. I know that that would not fly in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even as I have great respect for that church body. I also struggle with communion only for members of the denomination, as I might interpret what exactly discerning the body means, the community as well as the bread itself. So I stay and struggle. Core may be the real option for pastors like myself. I find intellectual and spiritual sanctuary in the Society of the Holy Trinity, but what is happening at the churchwide assembly does not reflect the vast majority of Lutherans I have known through internships, my home church, my current parish, etc. The activists clearly found a way to attend the event, and the skids have been greased. It is tragic for many of us. I literally have nightmares about it, and the future of our church is greatly in doubt, though the future of Christ's church is never in doubt. So I stay and struggle for now. We stay primarily for the issues listed above, and even in those, I can see the other point of view. But I do want the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community to know that there are a great number of confessional Lutherans in the ELCA, and this vote is an absolute tragedy for many of us. For now, I am committed to staying and fighting. Here I stand and all that. But man, it is a struggle. Warm regards from, I believe, your home state of Texas, writes Evan in Texas.
Well, Evan, thank you very much. Thanks for listening so faithfully in Texas. We really do love our on-demand listeners, wherever they may be, especially in Texas. I understand your struggle. I would encourage you to think about those passages of Scripture, those sections of Scripture that you would be inclined to read as parabolic, to consider them as that they might, in fact, not be mere parables, myths, or legends, but that they are, in fact, history. And as history intended to show us Christ on every page of the Old Testament, and that you would find yourself in good company considering the story of Jonah to be history, for Christ himself considered it history as well. He doesn't say in the parable of Jonah, he speaks of Jonah as a real person of history. So with that said, and that might remove some of the struggle for you there You know, I fear, Jeff, that a lot of these people who are struggling to stay and fight in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America are going to skip over Lutheranism altogether. And if they go anyplace, they'll go to Rome. I sincerely fear that. I wish they wouldn't, because there's greater compromise involved there than can be imagined. But I fear that it might be the case. What we don't want to do as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is to throw our arms wide open to people who are discouraged by the deviancy and the apostasy of their own church body and its leaders, and then when they get here, offer them very little more by way of genuine, truly confessional fidelity. And that is, what I'm trying to say here is that it's very easy for the members of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to say, well, you know, by comparison, our theological problems look small compared to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. By comparison, we are, you know, we're rock-ribbed Lutherans compared to those so-called Lutherans in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We do not measure our fidelity to Scripture or the confessions in comparison to other church bodies or other Lutherans, even apostate ones. We compare them to the standard of Scripture and confessions themselves. So when we see this happening, first we pray for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that they might repent of their apostasy. Then we pray in repentance ourselves, knowing that if anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. And we remember that the measure of our faithfulness, our fidelity to Scripture and the confessions, are those Scripture and confessions, not comparing ourselves to the less faithful. We'll be right back with Blog of the Week. The sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, etc. 618-223-8382.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Giggle Free Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, better known as PETA, is a radical animal rights group. They even criticized President Obama for swatting a fly during an interview. A PETA spokesperson said pro-lifers were loathsome and grotesquely hypocritical for opposing abortion, but unconcerned about eating fried chicken. In response, he was asked what PETA's stand is on abortion, which dismembers unborn babies in the womb. He admitted they have no stand on abortion. This organization protests swatting a fly, but takes no stand on the intentional deaths of thousands of unborn humans every day. Yet we're the hypocritical ones? This makes me less guilty about once telling a member of the group, PETA stands for People Eating Tasty Animals, which he didn't take well at all.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.